Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Jai and Vijay, Cursed by the Sages, text number 38. This departure from Vaikuntha was foretold by Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. She was very angry because when she left my abode and then returned, you stopped her at the gate while I was sleeping. That's interesting, isn't it? This is not the first time that Jai and Vijay have been in trouble. Huh? It appears. Mayi sambrambha yogena nistirya brahma hilanam. Pratyasyatam nikasham me kalenal piyasa punaha. The Lord assured the two Vaikuntha inhabitants, Jaya and Vijay, by practicing the mystic yoga system in anger, you will be cleansed of the sin of disobeying the Brahmanas and within a very short time return to me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead advised the two doorkeepers, Jai and Vijay, that by dint of bhakti yoga, in anger, they would be delivered from the curses of the Brahmanas. Srila Madhva Muni remarks in this connection that by practicing bhakti yoga, one can become free from all sinful reactions. Even a Brahmashapa, or curse by a Brahmana, which cannot be overcome by any other means, can be overcome by bhakti yoga. One can practice bhakti yoga in many rasas. There are 12 rasas, 5 primary and 7 secondary. The 5 primary rasas constitute direct bhakti yoga, but although the 7 secondary rasas are indirect, they are also counted within bhakti yoga, if they are used in the service of the Lord. In other words, bhakti yoga is all inclusive. If one somehow or other becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes engaged in bhakti yoga as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Text 15. Kamam krogham bhayam. The gopis were attracted to Krishna by bhakti yoga in a relationship of lusty desire, kam. Similarly, Kamsa was attached to bhakti yoga by dint of fear of his death. Thus, bhakti yoga is so powerful that even becoming an enemy of the Lord and always thinking of him can deliver one very quickly. Excuse me. Sambrambha yogena. Sambrambha. Rumba. Rumba must. Can somebody do me a favour? And in Vedabase.com, look up the word rumba and see what it means. Rumba. Looks like it means anger.
I think beautiful.
Huh?
Mostly beautiful.
Mostly beautiful. Mm. I don't think so. Because Prabhupada translates here, some rumba yogena. By practice, yogena, well, we know what that is. Some rumba. By practice of mystic yoga in anger. Some usually means like sankirtan. Usually means complete or, you know.
Pleasing.
What does it say, rumba? If you can't find rumba, look up some rumba. And if you can't find that, don't worry about it. Okay, so, but interesting here. Even becoming an enemy of the Lord. Loudly.
Enmity.
Anger, yeah, anger. Rumba means anger. Some rumba means
mostly
complete.
Anger. Mostly anger, so intense.
Yeah, anger. That's what it means. That's what it's translated as here, but I just wanted to check. Some rumba means complete anger. Enmity. So he's an enemy. Huh? And so, thus, bhakti yoga is so powerful that even becoming an enemy of the Lord and always thinking of him can deliver one very quickly, because this is what Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they were always angry towards Lord Vishnu. They're always thinking about him, absorbed in thinking about him in anger for all of the offences that they imagined he had committed towards them and their family. It is said, Vishnu Bhakta Smito Daiva Asuras Tad Vipanyayaha. Devotees of Lord Vishnu are called demigods. Vishnu Bhakta Smito. Smito means what? Smito. Remembered as, known as. Smito. Daiva. Vishnu Bhakta's are devotees. Asuras tad vipanyayaha. Vipanyayaha means, what is vipanyayaha? I looked this up the other day actually. It means inimical to, envious of. Right? But bhakti yoga is so powerful that both demigods and asuras can derive its benefits. We're good examples of that. Right? If they always think of the personality of Godhead. The basic principle of bhakti yoga is to think of the Supreme Lord always. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 65, Manmana bhavamad bhaktaha. Always think of me. Manmana. Think of me. Bhava mad bhakta. Have the mood of a devotee. This is the mood of a devotee. It doesn't matter which way one thinks. The very thought of the personality of Godhead is the basic principle of bhakti yoga. Huh? In the material planets, there are different grades of sinful activities, of which disrespecting a Brahmana or a Vaishnava is the most sinful. Here, it is clearly stated that one can overcome even that grave sin simply by thinking of Vishnu. Not even favourably, but in anger. Thus, even if those who are not devotees always think of Vishnu, they become free from all sinful activities. Krishna consciousness is the highest form of thought. Lord Vishnu is thought of in this age by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. From the statements of the Bhagavad Gita, it appears that if one thinks of Krishna even as an enemy, that particular qualification, thinking of Vishnu or Krishna, cleanses one of all sins. Very good. Om Magana Timirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chokshur Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dhatispa Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pamulam Gayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. So, a number of points here. The principle of bhakti as being supremely powerful in overcoming sinful reactions is emphasized here. You know, in Vedic culture, being respectful, being humble, being submissive, to authority and to superiors. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions austerities of the mind, austerities of the body, austerities of speech, and austerities of the mind. Right? And austerities of the body, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there are a number of them, but worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worship of the spiritual master, worship of superiors like our teachers, the king, you know, our parents, you know, people who are older, more mature, more wise. Being respectful is an austerity of the body. Is that right? Anybody remember that section? Yep. Austerity of speech is to, well, recite the Vedas. To speak the truth. To speak the truth palatably, even if it is challenging or confronting. Austerity of speech. Interesting. Oh, brahmacharya is another austerity of the body. But anyway, this principle of respecting others is important. And being angry at and having feelings of animosity and enviousness and generally having an antagonistic mood towards others is not recommended. Not recommended as one of the austerities of the body, or austerities of the mind, or austerities of speech. You know, it's to be angry with others. Right? Yet, despite the fact that the Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were, you know, they were just envious, antagonistic, angry demons, and always thinking of ways to destroy the Lord. Not possible, but this is what they were, you know, they were thinking, you know, how can we rid the creation of this Lord Vishnu? Huh? This is their meditation. So, you know, hugely antagonistic, disrespectful, yet, despite the fact that they held this enmity, what is it? Samramba. Where is it? Here. Samramba yogena, right? Samramba. Complete anger, enmity. But yogena. And Prabhupada, in the translation we get by practice of mystic yoga in anger. But then in the purport, Prabhupada says by dint of bhakti yoga in anger. They would be delivered from the curse of the brahmanas. Now, so we should take notice of this, that with the addition of bhakti yoga, by cultivating bhakti, then whatever enmity or whatever disqualifications we may have, if we follow the process of bhakti yoga, we'll be purified. Apichet sudaracharo. We may see in the character of a devotee some fault, some faults. We may see it. Not may see it. We'll see it. Now, we should be looking at our own faults, not worrying about the faults of others. This is really desirable. But, you know, in the course of day-to-day activities, sometimes it's hard to, you know, miss the faults of others. It just happens that way. And this is very important. We may see faults in others, but we should learn to oversee or overlook the faults and try to find the bhakti, the devotion in the characters, you know, in the characteristics of the devotees, because that's the, you know, samyag hi vyavaso hi saha, you know, because the devotees are on the path of perfection by dint of their bhakti, even if there's some fault in their character, that will be overcome, that will be diminished, that will be reduced, that will be purified in due course of time. This is the power of bhakti. And you know, we see it in others and we can see it also in ourselves. We can observe these changes taking place in our character, so long as we don't commit offences. We can, you know, bhakti can be checked by offences to the Vaishnavas and to others also. Bhakti can be checked. But the Sukriti, the Bhajanamukha Sukriti is still stored in our transcendental, you know, spiritual bank account. You know, just like last night, I tried to log into one of my accounts, and I couldn't get in, and I don't use the accounts used by others, and so I couldn't answer. You know, they said, "Tell us about some transactions," and I said, "Oh, I can't tell you about any transactions. I don't use the card," so they wouldn't let me in. I couldn't find out. I'll fix it up today. Ginger Ruby uses the card. And so we went down to the bank and she got the balance out using her card. I'll tell them that and then they'll let me in. So, you know, the money's still there. The money is still there in the account. Not much, but there's a little bit there. You know, the balance still remains the same, just we don't have access to it. So the activities in devotional service can be, you know, the benefits can be checked by committing offences. And now Prabhupada says here, interestingly enough, right? By practicing, he says, Srila Madhva Muni remarks in this connection that by practicing bhakti yoga, one can become free from all sinful reactions. Even a brahma shapa, or curse by a brahmana, which cannot be overcome by any other means, can be overcome by bhakti yoga. Right? And then Prabhupada makes this point, you know, we can perform bhakti in many rasas or in many moods, in many relationships. And you know, he gives examples here of how the gopis were attracted to Krishna by their calm. Kamam krodham bhayam. By strong desire, the gopis wanted to be with Krishna as his girlfriends. But, you know, wanting to play with boys in the forest at midnight is, you know, not exactly encouraged in Vedic culture. Right? In the austerities of the body, it's brahmacharyam, right? Not go out and dance all night with young girls or young boys, right? But this is what the gopis. But of course, now, and this is the thing, we shouldn't look at the we shouldn't be distracted by the externals. This is why one has to be very pure-hearted to study and to be absorbed in the Rasalila pastimes of Krishna with the gopis in Vrindavan. Because it's easy to become distracted by the external features of the relationship. Young boys and young girls, or young boy and a young girl. But it's actually considered to be the highest example of dedication, of surrender, of devotional service to Krishna, where the gopis were prepared to sacrifice everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Huh? They were, they're the emblem. They're the symbol of, they're the epitome of devotional service. They gave up their reputations and their families and whatever social standing. Just for the pleasure of Krishna. Yeah, if we look at it from one perspective, they were just lusty girls. Huh? Couldn't keep their eyes off the boys, or one boy anyway, in particular. Right? But the connection is their devotion, their dedication. They're always thinking of Krishna. And Krishna's not an ordinary boy and they're not ordinary girls. That's why we have to be careful in studying and discussing and meditating on the Rasalila, because, if we're to fall into that trap of seeing them from that material perspective, then you don't get the benefit of the meditation, of the absorption in that pastime, and in appreciating the dedication and the sacrifice and the surrender of the gopis to Krishna. But they're famous. Kamam. Here, kamam. By strong desire, lusty desire, Prabhupada says here. By the gopis were attracted to Krishna by bhakti yoga in a relationship of lusty desire, kam. Similarly, Kamsa was attached to bhakti yoga by dint of fear of his death, bhayam, right? And here, the giant Vijay, krodham, by anger. Thus, bhakti yoga is so powerful that even becoming an enemy of the Lord and always thinking of him can deliver one very quickly. So bhakti yoga, what to speak of the devotees who, only want to serve the Lord and please him and serve him as he likes. But if the demons like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha can be purified by anger, but directed or focused on the Lord, then what to speak of the devotees whose only business is to please Krishna? Right? Vishnu Bhakta Smito Deva. Right? Those who worship the Lord are devatas, or what we call devotees. And those who are not are asuras or demons. But if the asuras, and we can assume, or maybe not you, but certainly from, when I came in contact with the devotees, I wasn't a devata, that's for sure. But there was an attraction to chanting Hare Krishna. Right? Some attraction by Krishna's mercy. And as a result of that attraction to chanting Hare Krishna, then we see we become purified. So the asura becomes little, still an asura, but the devotee becomes bigger by the dint of devotional practice. Right? That we see in the character, in the, so we, in one sense, we shouldn't be concerned or worried too much about blemishes in the character of devotees, even in ourselves. Although, we should be more concerned about our own faults rather than the faults of others. Right? There's that story told by, I think it was Rishi Kumar, who said that Prabhupada told him, the rules and regulations are for us, not for other people. Huh? So we should be looking at it, you know, we're the ones who should be testing or, you know, checking ourselves as to whether we're following. Don't worry about the others. They'll look after, you know, Krishna will look after them. So, by the practice of bhakti. Now, it's interesting here, right? Now, Prabhupada says, this is very interesting. The Lord says, the basic principle of bhakti yoga is to think of the Supreme Lord always. Right? And then Prabhupada gives us a hint. Well, not a hint. You know, there's a flag here. A very important point. Well, there's more to this. At the end of the purport, he gives the, you know, the how to think. But he says here, the basic principle of bhakti yoga is to think of the Supreme Lord always. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:65, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Oh, no, he doesn't say that. He says, always think of me. It doesn't matter which way one thinks. It doesn't matter which way one thinks. The very thought of the personality of Godhead is the basic principle of bhakti yoga. But then, at the bottom of the purport, he says, Krishna consciousness is the highest form of thought. Right? Krishna consciousness is the highest form of thought. So, you know, we're supposed to be thinking. Right? Anybody here not thinking? You know, they say, when the chanting starts, the thinking stops. Have you heard that? There was this video, this fellow called Ted Patrick. He was a deprogrammer. And he was carrying on about the devotees in this one video. And he says, I feed my dog better than they feed their children. Because nonsense. But he one famous quote of his was, when the chanting starts, the thinking stops. He's south, you know, from the southern states of America. But here, what does Prabhupada say? The highest form of thought is Krishna consciousness. Right? And that's our business. You know, one of the reasons why we wake up early in the morning and worship the Lord is so that, you know, we begin our day with meditation on the spiritual master, meditation on Krishna. The spiritual master is, why do we meditate on the spiritual master? Because the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. Just as the cloud pours water that is picked up from the ocean onto the land to nourish and to nurture it, actually they put out the forest fire of material existence, right? So the spiritual master similarly distributes the mercy from Krishna. Right? The spiritual master delivers Krishna's mercy to the disciples as the Lord's representative. Right? So we think of Krishna, we think of his representative, the spiritual master, because that's the highest form of meditation. To be thinking. And to be thinking when we're performing our service. How to do our service for the pleasure of the spiritual master, for the pleasure of Krishna. Right? To the best of our capacity. To the best of our ability. This is the hallmark of a bhakta. Right? So, then Prabhupada gives the, you know, this is a very interesting hint or point. He says, The basic principle of bhakti yoga is to think of the Supreme Lord always. Right? The very thought of the personality of Godhead is the basic principle of bhakti yoga. So for element, you know, this is elementary thinking of the Lord, thinking of ways to serve. Yat karoshi, yat ajnasi, yaj jahosi, dadasi yat. Whatever I do, whatever I offer, whatever I give away, whatever austerities I perform, it should be done thinking of the Lord. And His pleasure is being done. And this is not easy, you know, because most of the time we're thinking about, well, what's in it for me? Right? We're all tuned into WIIFM. Right? Have you heard that? What's in it for me? Right? That's WIIFM. So, this is the basic principle. Think of Krishna. Then Prabhupada says, Lord Vishnu is thought of in this age by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah. Even as an enemy, the particular qualification, thinking of Vishnu or Krishna, cleanses one of all sins. Pretty far out, right? Of course, you know, we have a problem. The chanting of Hare Krishna is sweet amrita, ambrosial nectar, but we've got such a diseased condition of, you know, demonic existence that chanting Hare Krishna tastes like poison. Right? This is a bit of a problem. Rupa Goswami says, this is a problem. We want to think of Krishna, we try to chant Hare Krishna, we think, oh, this is too hard. But the chanting of Hare Krishna is medicine. It is medicine for the mad mind. Right? Medicine for the mad mind. And so sometimes, you know, a person who's crazy or insane, got a mad mind, doesn't like to be treated. In fact, you know, they'll say, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I haven't got a problem. You know, sometimes we're like that too. We think, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm a pure devotee. What's wrong with you guys? It's all your fault, not mine. This is madness. I mentioned this the other day in class. Prabhupada says that a devotee always feels themselves helpless and is always praying to the previous acharyas for help. Always praying for help. Where, you know, we're thinking, ah, leave me alone, I'm all right. Right? We're performing devotional service in anger also. Basically because, you know, we've got to control our senses. Huh? We're very disappointed by the fact that Prabhupada told us that it would all be just chanting and dancing and ecstasy, right? And then we're faced with the hard work of cleansing the heart and the mind, you know, and we go, ooh, it's too hard. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. Right? But here's the trick. It's chanting Hare Krishna, and sometimes we have to take the medicine. And the medicine, it tastes bitter. But Rupa Goswami gives the example. Just as a jaundiced person, you know, our tasting of the holy name is bitter because the tongue is at its root diseased. Right? It's not in its natural state. And so therefore when we're chanting, the chanting tastes, we're not able to connect to that sweet nectar. that the chanting actually is. But it's the medicine. And so if we keep chanting, then the chanting of the holy name destroys the disease at the root, Rupa Goswami describes. And so, you know, we can overcome any of the obstacles that we face in our devotional life by chanting, as mentioned here. Because that enables us to remember the Lord. It enables us to remember our relationship with Krishna. And specifically, our relationship with Krishna is very much dependent upon our relationship with the devotees. And very often, or most often, our devotional service is checked because of offences committed towards the Vaishnavas. Right. Now that's considered here the greatest sin, Prabhupada mentions here. You know, disobeying or ignoring or being contemptuous or whatever. You know, and this is why I mentioned previously that, and this is why Jaya and Vijay got in trouble. Right? We just got a hint of, you know, they wouldn't let Lakshmi back into Vaikuntha when she went for a tour. Right? So she was Krudaya, right? It mentions in that previous verse. Krudaya, she became very angry. And so did Chatush Kumar. You know, they wanted to come and see Lord Vishnu. And then Jaya Vijaya said, no. You know, they we're not sure about this. Right? And so they got angry also. the four Kumaras. And so that's the curse of the Brahmanas, right? The curse of the devotees, actually. Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. In the Lakshmi also. Apparently, from that previous verse, right? This departure from Vaikuntha was foretold by Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. She was very angry, right? Krudaya, furious, it's translated here, because when she left my abode and then returned, you stopped her at the gate while I was sleeping. Right? So, Prabhupada mentioned, there's a little section of the Nectar of Devotion that I've been reading and meditate. It's kind of stalled by it, but a little bit. Not stalled by it, but you know, I've been thinking about it for a couple of weeks. And Prabhupada mentions that devotional service, or Rupa Goswami mentions that devotional service our attachment to Krishna. You know, because what happens is when we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're performing devotional service, then we become attached to Krishna. And so it's easy to think of Krishna, right? But sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy to chant. It's not easy to think of. Our attachment diminishes, right? You may find it. And then our attachment to, or our attraction to material things increases. Right? And it's mentioned, Rupa Goswami mentions, this is a result of offences. And generally, he mentions offences committed to the devotees. And of course there are ways to, you know, certainly chanting Hare Krishna, but there's also ways to remove, you know, offences to the devotees. If we've committed offence, then we can, you know, it's recommended by Haridas Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani, in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur recommends that if we have committed offences to the devotees, then we can apologise. And that very quickly dissolves or removes that obstacle. And so again, our attachment to Krishna can be reignited or instated, Our attachment to Krishna can be re-established very easily. If we and it's interesting, in our morning program, every morning we offer our obeisances to the devotees. We offer, you know, it's kind of like it's a fix-it for all, you know, minor offences that we might have committed. And Rupa Goswami recommends, what is it? Krishneti yasya giritam manasa triyeta, that we should honour anybody who chants Hare Krishna. You know, pranams. But Krishneti yasya, Krishneti yasya giritam manasa triyeta, dikshasti chet pranati bis bhajantam isham. But those who have taken initiation and who are sadhakas, we should offer our obeisances. We should bow down to such people. Right? Yeah. And so that's what we do in the morning. Every morning. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Right? Gora bhakta vrinda ki jai. Got rid of all my, you know, reactions now. I can go and commit some more. But it is interesting, isn't it, that Prabhupada is instituting, because, you know, most of the offences that we commit, you know, in our, it's all minor stuff. It's not, you know, not like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha stuff. Although sometimes devotees do harbour, you know, animosity towards each other for many, many years over little things. Or not so little, you know, just the fact that they were hurt, you know, treated impersonally, which is, you know, easy to do. Right? But, so, you know, offering our obeisances, apologising, and, you know, usually what happens with the devotees, you commit offence and then you apologise, and you, amongst, you know, devotees who are a little advanced, I say, Prabhu, I didn't even think about it. You know, look, I'm sorry I did this or that or the other thing. And so the devotees are generally, you know, there's apologies all around. Not, yeah, you rascal demon, you should have apologized to me, you know, years ago. Right? There's humility is the emblem or the, you know, the quality, the character, the symbol of a Vaishnava. Actually, right? And of course, Lord Chaitanya says if we are to be successful in chanting, when I think about it, what's the key for successful chanting? Humility. Trinada pisunichena toro riva sahishnuna. You know, because the previous verse says, dudayavam idrisham. Ihajani nanu ragaha. I'm such a dura miscreant, dura daiva, bad devotee, that I have no taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Right? And so then Lord Chaitanya responds in the next verse by saying, but if you want to be kitani asada hari, if you want to chant Hare Krishna constantly, then we need to cultivate Trinadupi Sunichena Tarori Vasahishnana Amanadena Manadena. Not looking for respect for ourselves and being respectful to all others. Right? See, and that's why, like I mentioned before, we need to be able to see the devotional qualities in others. And understand, as here we see in Jaya Vijaya's case, they were angry devotees. You know, sometimes we see angry devotees. But we should overlook that, you know, because they're not going to be angry forever. And look at the devotion. Look at the devotional qualities and characteristics. Look at how they're attached to chanting Hare Krishna. This is a key indicator, right, of a devotee's qualities and qualification to be a devotee is how much they like to chant Hare Krishna. General characteristic. And then know for sure that if that person is chanting Hare Krishna, that sadureva samantavya samyag hivyava sito hisaha, that they're on the path of perfection and in a very short while. And it's mentioned here. Kalena alpa. Alpa, right? And alpa means little. Little. Just a little amount of time. Here. Kalena alpiyasa punaha. So, in the previous line, pratyasyatam nikasam me kalena alpiyasa punaha. You'll be with me, you'll come back to me in a very short period of time. So the devotees, especially those attached to chanting Hare Krishna, which means they're thinking of Krishna, right? They'll very quickly be pure devotees and will come back to Krishna. Pretty amazing. And that applies to us too. Does anybody have any comments or questions? I think Lord Chaitanya said that actually, but yes, yeah. Prabhupada repeated it.
Yeah. And today's Prabhupada said that the love of gopis towards Krishna was in the form of lust.
Mm-hmm.
So you please condemn that. How could this lusty love be pure?
How can it be pure? It's pure because it's focused on Krishna. And so, lust is when our desires are focused on our enjoyment. Selfishness, in other words. But the reason why the gopis' apparent lust for Krishna is pure is because their desires were not for their own enjoyment, but their desires to be with Krishna were for the fulfillment of Krishna's desires. And so therefore, that's pure. So even though the external manifestation or the appearance is apparently lusty, actually the desire was not for their own sense gratification, but it was for Krishna's pleasure. Right? And that's why a study of or a meditation on the pastimes of the Rasalila has to be performed with a pure heart. Right? And because, you know, we've been associating with the material energy for so long, when we see young boys and girls coming together in that fashion, then that tends to agitate or to stir up, you know, desires as a consequence of our material association, right? But the reason why the pastimes, and here's the thing, you know, Lord Chaitanya, who's the topmost devotee, a sannyasi, yet he recommends we should meditate on the conjugal pastimes of the Rasalila as the highest symbol or the highest emblem of devotional service, but only if one is pure should one do that. Huh? Because it is very easy to be distracted by the external and covering, if you like, and look at it from the wrong perspective then. But the correct perspective is to see the love of the gopis in its proper context, in its with a proper perspective, and that is that even though it appears as calm, the desire was actually for the pleasure of Krishna, and so therefore it's pure. And isn't it interesting? The behaviours of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha appears to be, you know, it is, motivated by anger. Samramba, what is it? Yogena. Complete animosity. Yet, because they thought of the Lord, they were perfect. So again, we shouldn't be distracted by the external. This is why so much of the Bhagavatam is dedicated to the pastimes of Jai and Vijay as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. We've got whole cantos, you know, filled up with these nonsense. But they're not nonsense. Okay, they're demons. But the example is so, what's the word? Exemplary in that they were doing it as service. And so, you know, we get so much, there's so much discussion of these pastimes in the Bhagavatam. To demonstrate. And the Bhagavatam basically, well, not basically, there are many topics in the Bhagavatam, but very prominent in the Srimad Bhagavatam is this notion of the exemplary characteristics and qualities of those who are related to Lord Vishnu, in other words, the devotees, right? And how that relationship is their perfection. Even though in this case, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were, you know, mega demons. But they just, you know, they just, their whole program was kill brahmanas, you know, kill the cows, basically, you know, you name it, they did it. But we get this whole explanation how ultimately that was all an arrangement of the Lord to for him to exercise his, you know, to fulfill his desires and also to broadcast and highlight the qualities of bhakti, you know, the power of bhakti and the nature or the qualities of the bhaktas. Even when it appears from the external point of view that they are not devotees. Right? Vritrasura is a demon. Prahlad Maharaj, born in a family of demons. Bali Maharaj, big demon. And, you know, ultimately that's to give us some encouragement. Yeah, okay, you demons. It's okay, you'll be all right. Chant Hare Krishna. And learn the art, right? The art of devotion. How to clear offences, how to keep attachment to the chanting. Jaya Vijaya offended Lakshmi and offended the four Kumaras and had to go to the material world as a result. No? Okay, we should finish here. Kantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. That was good. Nice verse.
I didn't know you.